can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, this is a first that we don't usually preempt our interviews, but we spoke, had a fairly explosive and controversial interview with Nick Steeves.
I wouldn't say explosive. I'd say I found it interesting.
Right, we had an interesting interview with Nick Steeves, who people would know has a what his track record is of football and maybe after football. So we did what we thought was a very comprehensive interview with Nick Steeves. We told him we would not, if we had to edit it, we would let him know because we don't want to top and tail interviews to suit us, which we've not done. We have had to take out a fair proportion of the questions, not so much the questions, the answers, for his protection and certainly ours. We don't want to be the broadcasting medium that incurs any litigation, and we've done that in deference to Nick Steeves as well. However, having said that, you will probably gauge by the interview, it's not the answers that he gives, it's the ones that we're not allowed to publish that will create interest. And if that has a greater interest with people who do not mind being litigated against, that is bigger bigger organisations, well, so be it. But so we just say, try and make sense of this interview that we do with Nick Steeves, and it will be coming up now.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
This is not usually how we introduce our guest. We usually give a rundown of what he or she has done, or they, or whatever their pronouns are. But we have with us Nick Steeves, and I don't think he's sitting opposite us. I don't think I've ever met Nick Steeves before. I'm not sure that.
Well,
I
you'd
have.
Know whether you have or you haven't. So you haven't.
I don't think I've ever met Nick Steeves before. But I know only what I've read about him. But I think we feel obliged to give him a stern examination of his behaviour and conduct. What we do is we all err in life in one way or another. And but his conduct or what he's been accused of seems reasonably egregious, but I tell you what we'll do. I know only what I read about him, so if he's okay with this, we'll continue and I'll read out what I normally introduce our guests with. So this is his football life. He played from 1998 to 2003 with Port Adelaide. Played 127 games under John Cale and Mark Williams as coach. And then in 2004 to 2009, he played with the Carlton Football Club for 104 games under the coaches of Mr. Pagan and Mr. Ratton. He's won two Michael Tuck medals, which are one in 2002 at Port Adelaide and one in 2007 at Carlton. Michael Tuck medal is for the best pre-season or pre-competition best player. He'll tell us what a Michael Tuck medal. Do you know what a Michael Tuck medal is?
Yes, I do.
Right. Thank you, Don. He was the AFL Player Association of the AFL Players Association Best Player, First Year Player in 1998. And he was the AFL Rising Star nominee.
Well, you could say that he could play football.
That's his football life. Right.
And did you mention he was vice captain of Carlton?
I was getting onto that, Don. He was the vice captain of Carlton.
Oh, thank you.
That's his football life, yeah. His civilian life. He was convicted of 13 charges for brutally bashing his girlfriend. This is what he was charged with. He was sentenced to 8 months jail. He was given a 12-month community corrective order, 12 months community corrective order, 90 hours community service and fined $400. He faced another 5 counts of assault, including serious injury and threatening to kill. He appealed those findings, and we have not lured him in here with any guarantee of what we'll ask him. He's here in good faith, and we will go from there. So, Nick, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. It's a bit hard to know where to start, but I'll tell you what where we'll start. We'll start just with the football for a start, just to put this in a bit of context to this. Why did you go to... You left Port Adelaide with a view to, I think, trying to get to Collingwood in 1998. Why didn't you go to Collingwood? How did you end up at Carlton?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here. But I got drafted as a 17-year-old from Northern Knights in the under-18s and went to Port Adelaide, where I played 7 seasons over there, had a great time, and then at the end of 2003 decided that I wanted to return home for family reasons and ended up saying to Choco, who was my coach at the time, Mark Williams, that I wanted to return back home. And it was pretty well documented that Collingwood was my preferred option to go to. I was a Collingwood supporter growing up and threw myself into trying to get home. But unfortunately, at the time, I didn't end up at Collingwood where I would have liked to have. Well, pretty much, we'd just been knocked out, Port Adelaide being we had just been knocked out of the preliminary final by Collingwood. And I think Choco, from the day I said I was leaving, said, "You won't be going to Collingwood." And Choco's a man of his word. And they tried to deal, and I guess they weren't able to get the deal done.
Okay, because,
In 2004, that's when they won the premiership. So yeah. you were a little premature, do you think, in hindsight?
Yeah, I was. And I guess the thing with it was I was going to sign a 4 or 5 year deal if I stayed in Adelaide or I returned to Melbourne. So my choice was to go, knowing that we'd been a great side for a few years at Port Adelaide. Probably people could argue that we were a little bit stiff not to play off in another grand final or even win another grand final. But I knew in the timing of it, if I didn't go that year, I would have stayed in Adelaide for the rest of my playing career. So for me at that time, I was 23 years of age and I thought it's the time to go. If I don't go now, I won't go. So, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And although it was hard to watch, I was extremely happy for the boys when they won that flag. But I'm not going to sit here and say it didn't hurt, because I would have loved to have been a part of it.
So Port Adelaide, in my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't get anything for you when you went to Carlton. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So,
but why was that, do you think?
Well, it's probably changed a little bit now, the way the trade works. But back then, it was up to the clubs to do a deal. So Collingwood were obviously probably trying to get me for what they believed was a fair deal. Port obviously felt like they deserved to get more. And Choco just made a stance to say that unless you come to the party and give me what I want, I'll send him to the draft. And to the draft I went, and I was fortunate enough at the time that Carlton had pick number 2, because Jade Rawlings went pick number 1 to the Bulldogs, but the Bulldogs had guaranteed that they were going to take Jade at that time, and Carlton ended up getting me for nothing, yeah.
So
I just can't believe they'd let you go for nothing at all. There's nothing more behind this than what you alluding. I just can't believe a league 2 would just do that and get nothing for a player of your calibre.
Well, it was strange at the time, there's no doubt. At the time,
you didn't have a run in with Williams or anything?
No, I got along really well with Choco. It's probably one of the biggest myths in football. They think that I don't like him or Choco didn't like me, but I've always had so much respect for Choco, and I openly say he's the best coach I ever had by the length of the Flemington Strait in my eyes, because the way he developed me, him as a person, I just loved playing under him. But people would say that we had a run-in, but I've always got along really well with Choco.
So people would see that's a small slight against Dennis Pagan or Brett Bratton when you went to Carlton?
No, it's not at all, because I think every player that's played under multiple coaches, it's like a coach saying they don't have a favourite player. Every coach has got a favourite player. We all know it. It's like every player has a favourite coach. And for me, it was no disrespect. I liked playing under all the coaches that I had, and they all taught me different things. But for me, Choco was just the one that, you know, I played probably my best football under him. Just loved him as a coach.
Okay, so people will be listening to this thinking, don't tell me this is the way this chat's going to go.
No, can so I ask you a couple of football?
To you, Don, yes, I'm just saying we're going to get the football out of the way, so go ahead.
Okay, you retired, what amazed me, you retired with a neck injury, what, 2009, 10 or something, right? Now, I can't understand, that's a serious injury. Then you come back and play at Montmorency. What the hell are you doing?
So what happened, I retired in 2009, and in 2007 I broke my neck, had a neck fusion, was told there was a chance that I wouldn't play football again, did all the rehab, came back, pretty much played every game for the next couple of years, bar two I think it was. And then at the end of 2009 I had a end of season x-ray, or you know, the stuff that I used to do it every year after I had that neck fusion, to sign off on playing footy again. So I walked in as a routine checkup, thinking everything was fine, I felt fine, and I got the news that I'd had a knock and that my neck had moved slightly. So the option was at that time, take 12 months off, let it heal, see where you get to, all that type of stuff. Now at the time I was probably really disheartened by that, because when you break your neck and you go through the first lot, then you walk in and you're off guard and you don't know that you're going to have to retire. And I was 29, so I felt like I still had plenty of years ahead of me playing football. When I made that decision, in hindsight, maybe I should have sat out and waited the 12 months. I still had a couple of years on my contract. But at that time, I sort of felt, well, it's a big risk, it's a neck, it's all this type of stuff, you know, ending up in a wheelchair. But as the year went on, and another couple of years later, I felt fine and went back and played. And I've still played a few games, you know, over the years, just helping my brother out and playing and having a kick. I still water ski. I can still do everything that I once did. The risk was at that stage for the next 12 months. So in hindsight, did I make the right decision? Well, I think I did, because maybe I might not have been able to stand up and get through another season or whatever, but the club got to move me on and, you know, got to recruit and use that money in the salary cap to try to get someone else, etc.
That's enough of the football now, Don.
Oh, thank you, John.
No, that's enough. I'm making this executive decision. So if you want to move forward, Nick, you've got to confront the past.
Yep.
Your life has taken a tragic downturn since you've stopped playing football, and you almost fit the description of a psychopath. That is, someone who's not able to get on with, have a meaningful relationship with people. How has your life taken such a drastic downturn? Because I can read out all the things I've done about you brutally bashing someone and having charges against you for threatening to kill people. You're probably going to think that this is a chat about redemption, or you trying to cleanse your soul, or people having a different opinion of you. I would suggest you're going to have a monumental task trying to convince people you're not what you appear to be.
Well, for one, Sam, I'm not here to, I guess, get people to change their opinion, because it's their opinion. What
Surely
people's
you
opinions
are here to do that.
Well, what people's opinion are of you, Sam, is what it is. What I'm here to do is to tell my side of the story. So what you believe to be true and what Don believes to be true is what you read.
I only know what to be true by what I read. As I don't think I've ever they're the kids. I don't think I've ever met you before. You might say that's incorrect. I don't know.
Footy show, you
okay.
know, after.
So I only read and know what I read, and it is an horrendous story when you read about it, that you've been charged 13 charges of assault, and it's been an ongoing problem with violence against a woman you went out with. I'm just wondering if The woman that you went out with that has charged you with all these things, Liana McKenna, was sitting where you are and I was chatting to her. What do you think she would say about you?
It was actually 44 charges that I was charged with, Sam, that come down to two intentionally causing injury. The biggest thing that I'm guilty of, Sam, that I'll openly say I'm guilty of, is I cheated on my ex-partner. Yep. I got caught in bed with another woman.
Okay.
And yeah, it's not okay. No, and it's, you know, it's terrible that what I did.
I'm not judging you for that. But Don says, so you are charged with brutally bashing Miss McKenna.
Yep.
Are you sitting here saying that is not true?
I made the fatal mistake, and this is on me, and I take full responsibility of it. If you read through all the stuff and you go through the history of this case, I pleaded not guilty the entire time. So I pleaded not guilty, and then the night before my appeal, I changed my appeal and pleaded guilty to pushing her and kicking her, I think it was at the time. So they said, plead guilty to two intentional counts of causing injury, which to this day I regret doing.
Yeah, that's my next question. Why would, if you're innocent of something, why would you do that?
Because the reason I did it, Sam, was at the time, my partner at the time that I was seeing, my parents, everyone was saying, just plead and this will go away. Because if anyone knows the legal system, and I'm sure you guys do, if you have done something and you plead at that time, you pretty much get dealt with an easier or a lesser sanction because you're showing remorse, all that type of stuff. Now, I flipped the night before to do it. And the reason I did that is because at the time, the damage was done. I'd been written about every little which way possible and said this, that, or the other. Now, my lawyers at the time said to me, do you want this to go away and be over as quickly as possible? Or do you want to fight it all the way through? It's the greatest regret I have in life of not fighting it all the way through.
So, okay, we're all in charge of our own destiny. You chose expediency over your soul. You say you didn't do what you have accused of it, yet you pled guilty to some charges. That to me seems, if you don't think that people are going to judge you on what you plead guilty to, You're delusional, Nick.
Well, when you're standing there and people are telling you, Sam, that if you fight and you fight to be not guilty,
yes,
and you at that time are found guilty and you believe, it doesn't matter what I believe if I'm not guilty, it's what the outcome is. Now, you pay lawyers at the time to do this and give you the right advice. Now, their advice was at the time to plead guilty for it to go away if that's what you wanted to happen. If you want
this, how would you think that it's going to go away if you plead guilty? That just is such a contradiction.
Because
in
if
terms,
you've,
Nick.
Well, if you've never been in trouble before, Sam, and you plead to two charges of intentionally causing injury, history will say, and you can look up any case that you like, history will suggest you will not do jail time.
So you plead guilty to causing injury to Miss McKenna.
Yep.
You pled guilty to that, yet you're saying you didn't injure her.
Yes.
Well, that's extraordinary. No one can wrap their head around it.
Yeah, and it's hard to get your head around, Sam. Well,
how would you possibly think people are going to give you a pass if you plead guilty to intentionally injuring your partner or anyone, let alone a woman? How would you think people are going to say, oh, yeah, well, he did it just to get off the greater charge of jail and just thought he might get away with a fine? I mean, you can't justify having that attitude, Nick, I don't think.
Well, I'm not trying to justify it, Sam. I'm saying that I made a massive mistake in my decision to plead that way. If I had my time again, I can guarantee you I would not take the plea.
But you don't get your time.
You don't get it again.
Exactly.
So we just said, I keep calling her Miss McKenna. I'll keep calling her that. Ms. McKenna was here. You say, well, she's never done an interview. Have you ever done an interview before Don and I have had chat to you?
No, I haven't had the ability to because I've had ongoing legal issues the entire time, Sam.
So maybe that's why she hasn't done an interview.
She hasn't got any ongoing legal issues.
Do you think she would have been approached to do these interviews?
I can't see why she wouldn't have.
Have you been approached?
I've been approached and I continue to get approached.
So you're categorically accusing Ms. McKenna of lying about what has been thrown at you, even though you pled guilty.
No, he's not doing that. He's pleaded guilty to two counts. So the next day when you go to court, there is not a court case if you've pleaded guilty to two counts. So there's no cross examination or anything along that line.
What happens? You agree to the both parties agree to an agreement of facts of what's gone on. That's what you're agreeing to. So you're trying to make it sound like I've agreed to the 30-odd charges or whatever.
No.
So
not.
Well, you said I was charged of 13.
No, I read out your CV, if you like. I said your civilian life is a bit different from your football. If I read out what you're charged with, you just said that you didn't didn't physically assault Miss McKenna, but yet you pled guilty to doing exactly that.
I pled guilty to the two charges.
Yes.
So this is where it becomes a grey area, Sam, and unless you've been in the situation, it's very hard for people to get their head around this unless you know the legal system and you've been through it. And I know that, you know, I'll do this and I'll get smacked again and cop everything, and that's fine.
You mean this interview?
This interview, yep. And they'll line up again and they'll say, oh, I've said this and that.
No, but
and
they won't say anything more than Don and I are going to say.
No.
They can't possibly say anything more because we're trying to be, if you like, the devil's advocate, and we're on pretty good ground to do that. You said the whole thing one stage was 150% false.
Yep.
And yet the very next day you pled guilty. That's what people will find. It's very hard to wrap their head around to show that your bona fides are sincere or that you can be believed.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's something that I've got to deal with. It's something that people have got to get their head around. I know that people will go, you're sitting there saying that people will not get their head around it. Well, I can guarantee you, Sam, that there are guys out there. And this is a very delicate situation. So I don't want people to think that I'm condoning violence against women, because I don't. But my argument would be, so how come if I'm such a dickhead or I'm such a psychopath or whatever term anyone wants to, how come it's just been this has happened as a once-off and girls haven't come forward that have been in previous relationships that I've done this before or anything like that? I can't answer that.
Your present partner, I assume you're
I'm engaged, Sam.
Is that to Amelia Miller?
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry, mate.
No, that's okay. But
your former partner, Amelia Miller, I think, said she attacked Miss McKenna quite vehemently and said that she thought she was lying. Is that correct?
So I go back to your football career and I can relate it to you. You went coaching down. So you played at Mombrinch about 2011, I think. You went then to Gippsland Power as a coach for 12 months.
Then 2 years.
2 years, was it?
Yeah.
So did all this occur when you were the coach, 12 and 13 at Gippsland Power?
Yeah, so when I was at Gippsland, that was the time when I was unfaithful to her through that time. So then I left at the end of 2013. I got the job to coach Glenelg Football Club and I went over to the SANFL to
by yourself?
Coach over there. Yes, by myself. Yeah, I went over there. So
why didn't it? So that was what, 1 year?
Yeah, that was 1 year and they were fantastic. They backed me through all of this and they were actually the president, the CEO, they were in the room, in the court the entire time because it popped up.
Okay, so to get around this, so now it's starting to come to light that you're up on a charge.
Yep.
So is that why Glenelg ceased your employment after 12 months, because you were in court for this particular offence?
So I was, I think it was about round, and look, I'm not sure of the exact date, around probably 4 or 5 that it, I got charged.
This is your first season at Glenelg?
At Glenelg, yeah. And then at the end of that season, so the options probably were to stand down and not coach the year out, or to continue to plead your innocence and coach the year out. And then I went to court later on in the year, and that's what I did. So, yes, Sam?
And were you jailed?
Yes, I was jailed.
You were sentenced to 8 months jail, but did...
3 months. I was sentenced to 6 months jail, okay, with 3 suspended. But originally, I was sentenced to 8 months jail.
Well, 6 months with 3 to suspended.
Yeah, with 3 suspended. So I actually served... Months. No. So...
Yeah, all right.
Originally, it was 8 months.
Yep.
Then it got down to 6.
Why?
Then it went
you
down
appealed.
At appealed. Yeah. So that's where I pleaded guilty.
What was your appeal?
Well, so you appealed.
So I only pleaded guilty to
at the third appeal.
At the second appeal, yeah. So I pleaded not guilty. 44 charges went down to 13.
So we are here doing this, Nick, because we're interested, obviously, but you're. You're trying to cleanse your soul with a view to future employment in the football industry, or is that what this is vaguely about? You're trying to justify to people that you're not quite the person that you've been portrayed to be, and therefore you'd be a reasonable chance, because you know a lot about football, to get a gig in the football arena.
I still get offers a lot, Sam, to go into coaching and be involved in football. There's probably a few reasons why I want to do it. Two is to say my side of the story and get it out there. I've had plenty of opportunities. But the other side of it is, Sam, that my argument would be, okay, guilty or not guilty, whatever, I've got to accept this, that I pleaded. Now, that's something that I had to come to deal to terms with. And that's something that I had a lot of psychology over, and I dealt with, because I was pissed off. I was pissed off with the system. I was pissed off with the way it all played out and everything like that. And it's very hard to get over something like that. So it's taken a lot of time to get over those type of things.
I don't want to browbeat you, mate, on this, because we appreciate you coming in. Whether the people think this is a good idea for us to speak to you or not is irrelevant. But... you will never get over the fact, surely, that you pled guilty to physical attack or physical abuse of a woman that you went out with, and you pled guilty to, for expediency's sake, to have a lesser jail sentence given to you, and you will never get over the fact that you pled guilty to that.
I won't get over the fact that I pleaded guilty.
How can you expect people to give you a pass over that?
Well,
you're just asking them to do that, aren't you?
No, I'm not asking them to do it, Sam. But my question, or my answer, would be, I've dealt with the legal system.
Yep.
I've paid my dues. I went to jail, Sam. So does that mean if you've gone to jail and you've been found guilty, and once again I will say I was found guilty, so I take this as if I'm guilty, okay? So if I've done that, Sam, right... Yep. How long does someone have to pay the price for?
That's a good question. I think ever and a day.
But you seem to be now switching this to you playing the victim. Do we have any regard for Miss McKenna? Do you have any regard or sympathy for what she's gone through? Whether you think it's justified or not, or whatever, it's obviously destroyed. I presume it's been a tremendous stress on her life. I was going to say, if you reached out to her, you wouldn't have reached out to her, and vice versa. But we seem to be trying to say you're the victim, and we're overlooking the fact that some other person, Miss McKenna, has been stressed to the max.
I'm not saying that I'm not the victim, that I'm the victim, you know. Sam. And I feel terrible for what's played out. And the fact that this has played such a huge role in the media... I feel terrible for Lamer and her family, and I feel terrible for things that I've said along the way because I've been frustrated. Everyone says things in the heat of battle, and you understand that you've been in enough strife over the journey. But we all make mistakes, and we all say things we regret. And the biggest regret I have is being a coward and taking the easy option and cheating on her rather than walking out of a relationship that I wasn't happy with. I should have done that, Sam.
So controversy has followed you. So your landscape business was another headline that you defrauded someone for $33,000 up in Mildura or wherever.
143, wasn't it?
I don't know, Don. I just thought maybe you've done the research better than me. So not only have you been charged with and have a reputation as
con man, whatever you want to,
violence against women, but you've also gone to the probably just the lesser charge, just fractionally under that, of defrauding people in the business, you're in your landscaping business. What is going on in your life, Nick? Or are you saying that that's not true too?
Well, that's something I can't talk about at the moment, Sam, which I wish I could. I really do.
Is it an ongoing case?
It's an ongoing case, I can't talk about that. But due to what happened in my court case,
the abuse court case,
certain things happened which restricted my business, and that's all I can say at this stage.
What were you doing in Mildura?
I went up there to coach. From Glenelg.
You served a sentence. Then when you got out of jail, you got a job as a coach in Mildura, is that?
Well, actually, when I left Glenelg, I've always loved Mildura, and I was looking for something to do, and I spoke to a few people up there, and they said, come up and coach the Redcliffs Football Club. So I went up there and did that. Well, tried to do that while I was still under appeal and everything like that, because in my eyes I felt that I was going to go and win the appeal and move on with life and everything would be fine. So I went up there to do that, but the league stepped in, or the AFL stepped in, and said that I wasn't allowed to coach at the time, which I still to this day find was amazing, because I was still under appeal or under, you know, investigation, so to speak. So it was something that I found at the time, you know, I would have been able to go up and just continue on to earn a living and coach. And if I was found guilty and didn't get off that, bang, you get sacked and you have to stand down or whatever.
AFL stepped in and said you are not allowed to coach.
Yes. Yep. Along with the local politicians up there.
You couldn't blame me for that, could you?
No, I couldn't. But I also, from my point of view, Sam, it's your livelihood. If you're an accounting lawyer or something and you're facing charges, you're allowed to still practice until
You may have to step down until you're proven innocent.
Exactly, Don. So, you know, should have I stepped down from Glenelg? Maybe it should have been until all my legal rights were exhausted. But Glenelg said to me, it's going to be difficult from here. You know, we're going to have to sack you. And that's fine. I've got no bad ties with anyone at Glenelg or anything like that. And they were fantastic to me throughout the entire court case. After it, they were great. I couldn't speak more highly of them, to be honest.
If you had your time again, I know it's easy. You know, hindsight's an easy thing to do. I find it difficult that players, especially in Melbourne, you come from absolutely nowhere and you finish up being idolised because of the fact that you can play football. You know, there's 40 of you in a club and there's probably 800 of you right around Australia. Yet you're built up to be something that really you're not. Should people or young boys, and you're not the only one, get a bit carried away with who they are? Should they keep their nose clean or realise the implication? Now, other people would have done what you've done and we wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah, but I don't agree with that. I agree with if you're in the limelight, you know, you take the good with the bad. I've had very good publicity along the journey. I've also had very bad publicity. So that's something that you take on board when you play professional sport, you put your hand out to take the big money, so the rest comes with
it. So your public property.
Yeah, your public property. So, I understand that.
So that's how about taking this with the good with the bad? So, a fictional figure called Samantha Nash. Well, look, Nick, we might get criticised for speaking to you. I don't know why. We, in good faith, like to interview anyone that we think is has a story to tell. People, Don, can...
Well, I'd like to know what the future is for Nick Stevens.
Well, the future...
are you finding it difficult forging a future?
No, I'm very lucky. I've got a fantastic job. I've always been in civil construction my entire life outside of footy, so I'm very fortunate. I work for a great crane company in No Limit Cranes, who are sensational. I couldn't ask for better people to work for, and I love what I do. I'm very fortunate to be in a great industry. So that side of life's fantastic. Got a beautiful fiancée. You know, looking forward to getting married next year, and life's really good. The probably one thing that's missing in my life that if I could have had back to some extent would just be coaching at local level. Football would be something, because coaching was a passion of mine for years. It was something that I wanted to make full time, but I've also understood, you know, with the bad publicity I've had along the way, that it's made things very difficult, and the AFL still to this day will not allow me to get my coaching accreditation back.
So, but you would have had to have coaching accreditation to coach at Gippsland Power and also Glenelg. So you got your accreditation.
No, I was a level 3 accredited coach. So at that stage, I was the highest you'd been. But the AFL took that off me and said at the time, and this amazes me, that I didn't pay my coaching dues, so therefore my coaching accreditation was null and void. Now, Glenelg and Gippsland Power, it's always they pay your coaching dues. So it was a technicality that they got me off. They took my coaching accreditation off me. Since 2014, I've applied every year, haven't been successful, and they've pretty much come back and said, due to my serious nature of crimes, I'm not able to regain coaching accreditation yet. I've gone and done my homework and realised that there's massive amounts of people coaching with convictions, guilty pleas. There's blokes at AFL level, SANFL level, VFL level, AFLW women's level there was, all different types. So that's something that probably doesn't seem
right. So can you pursue this any further with regard to the AFL and your accreditation?
Yeah, I'll be going to court over it, because it's just... I feel that if it's one rule for me, it's one rule for everyone. So,
is this not a restrictive trade thing you're saying?
Yeah, it's a restraint of trade. Well, they've stopped my capacity to earn a living, Sam. So, and you know, when you go back to
damaged goods with regard to football clubs, or is there interest out there?
There's been plenty of interest, not at AFL level, anything like that, but there's plenty of interest out there. I get interest at the end of every year. I would have had between 5 to 8 coaching opportunities based on being able to get my accreditation. And I've gone down the path with coaching and speaking to sides that have gone to the lengths of meeting junior committees, meeting netball committees, and going down that to see if it's, you know, something that they will do.
Well, Shannon Grant, sorry, just on that, Shannon Grant's going through a bit of a similar problem, isn't he, at the moment out in Williamstown?
Yeah, he is. And that's probably my argument, is that you've done the crime, you've done the time, regardless of who you are. You know, there's a justice system to deal with the justice system. So why does the AFL feel the right now to single out certain individuals and not allow them to coach? That's my argument. You know, take away whether I'm guilty, not guilty or whatever. That's irrelevant now, because I'm getting restricted my capacity to earn. So why when I can sit here and prove, and you guys are smart men, you do your homework, you will find there is so many people out there coaching that have got these convictions.
It's such a contentious issue. This is not just a white collar crime or a little bit of pilfering or a little bit of speeding or driving under the influence. This is right up there as a serious crime in the community, women, abuse of women. physical abuse.
Yep.
I'm no advocate for the AFL, really. Well, I am, but in certain areas. But you can understand their reticence the people who genuinely find that this egregious would come down on the AFL, and it just wouldn't be worth their while, would it?
But there's some of their own that are coaching with these same charges, Sam. That's my point. But I understand it's a very delicate situation, and I understand that. Okay. I really do.
Is the cost going to be prohibitive?
Sorry?
Is the cost going to be prohibitive?
Financially?
Yes. In you getting your certificate.
Well, how long can you coach for?
Well, you can coach for as long as you 20 years. You could go for 30 years.
So my last coaching salary was north of 100 plus K that I've been restricted since 2015.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yes, Sam.
So, Nick, I'm not sure how much further we can go with this, but I want to just ask you, have you ever tried to reach out to Miss McKenna and her family? Would you like to have the opportunity to reach out, or do you think it's best to stay well away from that?
I'm not allowed to do it, for one, Sam.
I see you're a restraining.
Yeah, we both have restraining.
I see.
So you're not allowed to do that.
Would you publicly like to say maybe over this forum?
Yeah, look, I apologise for my behaviour. At the time, I really do, and I've made mistakes, and I'm sure she would be the first to admit the same. But Sam, what I will say is I've paid my dues. I've been to jail. I've spent the time in there. I've had some horrendous things happen while you're in there. Yeah, I have. I got attacked in there by two guys with a knife. There's things that have happened in my life. I paid the ultimate price, Sam, and I've been there. I'm not asking for
forgiveness.
I'm asking for a chance to move on with my life. More, not even so much for me, but my family and friends. Like my parents, do you think this doesn't kill them? Like
no,
my
I'm
dad.
Sure it does. Do you think Miss McKenna's been able to move on with her life?
Well, I hope she has. I think she has. I'm not sure how she's doing, to be honest, but.
Well, Nick Stevens. Are you glad you came and did this with us?
Yeah, I am. I am glad, Sam.
Do you think we've achieved anything?
Oh, I don't think we try to achieve too much. We've tried to just have a chat about it, Sam. I hope that people understand from this that this isn't me trying to say feel sorry for me or anything like that. This is me.
It sort of is.
Well, it's not really, Sam, but this is me trying to say, and this is one thing that I will say is, I've tried to go to the AFL. I've tried to go to the AFL Players Association and say, okay, how can we make such a negative situation and turn it into a positive and make it a learning aspect and have me talk to AFL clubs about my situation and the things that I've been through? Because I think there's plenty of lessons to be learned out of this.
Well, Don, our great, not fear, but our great worry will be that people will say, well, why didn't you ask him this and you're, I don't know what else we could possibly ask Nick Stevens. So I've never met him. I don't think I've ever met him. I only know what I read about him. Not making one judgment one way or the other. I'm not sure what else we could people could possibly criticise us for how we could do this any differently. We'd like to know. And if you think we went soft on Miss McKenna or we went not hard enough on Nick, I don't know. But we've tried to be objective about this and we make no judgment one way or the other, and we just leave it for people to people to make up their mind what they think about this chat we have, and we appreciate you coming in and having a chat to us,
and congratulations and for coming along and opening up the way you have too, and thank you for talking to us.
We don't want to think that we have cut Nick any slack and that he is the victim, because there's another person who's probably doing it tougher.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.